Well, I want to share the word this morning, and I want to keep talking about our theme about call to war. And it seems a little while since we've preached on this, but God is just stirring so many wonderful things as we look at this theme. Our theme scripture for the year is in 1 Timothy 6, 11 to 14, and I just want to read that. And I want to talk about that aspect where it talks about it being a fight of faith. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life in which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." But it says, fight the good fight of faith. And I really want to talk about that faith aspect this morning, that this is a good fight, but it is a fight of faith. And that whole aspect of faith is we need faith. We've got to be men and women of faith. And this is a fight of faith. Remember, we've said that this is a battle for truth. It's upholding the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's standing in the truth of who God is and who he says who we are. And listening not to the father of lies, the devil, but listening to our Father in heaven, what he says about us and what he's proclaimed for us. And holding on to that, fighting the good fight of faith. And that's really what I want to talk about, that aspect of faith this morning, that we need. It's so vital that we are men and women of faith, and that we're not ones who live by what we see. So easy to get caught up in living by what you see and not to have the eye of faith. And I trust that God will stir that in our hearts today. In 1 Timothy 1:18-19, this is Timothy talking about some, Paul talking about some prophetic words that were given over Timothy. It says, "Timothy, my son," and that was that wonderful relationship, "I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience." See, there's something about fighting this good fight, this battle, this spiritual battle that we're in, and something about faith, holding on to faith and a good conscience, having integrity and purpose, but having the sense of faith in all that we do. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, how we actually walk and operate in faith and how faith actually works. Some people get very carried away with faith. Some people end up worshipping faith. They have faith in faith rather than faith in God. And so I want to make sure that we understand faith and how faith really works in our lives, grabbing a hold of that, that we begin to see the things the way God wants us to see. Now, it tells us in Hebrews 11:1, and most of us, you've been a Christian for more than a year or two, you would have heard this definition about what faith is. And it says, "Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." And in verse 6 it says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God." Who wants to please God this morning? Amen. I'm going to pray for all you ones who don't want to please God. No, you're busily writing notes, so that's okay. God's pleased. That's all right. We all want to please God, and so we have to be men and women of faith. And we cannot please God. You can be very loving, caring, compassionate. You can be everything else. But if faith is not a part of who we are, we're not men and women of faith, then it's impossible to please God. So it's important that faith operates in our life. And more than just the saving faith, we come to our Lord Jesus Christ in faith. We come to him and we receive him as our Lord and Savior. And to do that, there's faith that's required in that, that I believe in him, I trust in him. I have faith that what he did on the cross, yes, I believe that it applies to me, and I take that, I apprehend in my life. So there's a saving faith that we all need to come to. But there's that dimension of faith, that active dimension of faith that we need to live in. And particularly we are in a battle, we're in a spiritual battle, we have an adversary. And so we're sharp, we're alert, and we're vigilant, we're courageous, we're men and women of valor, things that we've spoken about, but we're also men and women of faith, and we have that aspect of faith operating in our life. And so it's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. And if you're assured of something, you know 100%. It's like watching the soccer, like hearing the soccer result, getting up in the morning, and you hear that Australia won 5-0. And it turns out, no, it was just a dream. No, you hear the soccer result. Australia loses 3-2, or whatever we lost in and against the Netherlands. Now, if you heard that result, and then you switch on the TV and watch the replay, because you're not a maniac getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, you like sleeping. But then you watch a replay later on of this match. Now you know what the result is going to be. As much as you're cheering on for Australia, come on, Australia, you can do it, you can do it. At the end of the day, you know the result. you're assured of the result. Now, let's say it was a winning result and you're cheering on, but and even as if it was the other way, you know, even if they got a couple of goals back. But at the end of the day, hang on, I know that I win. We know that we win. Yeah, they scored a couple of goals, but I know that I win. So there's an assurance. It's something that's rock solid. It's not a vain thing. It's not a wishful thinking. It's something that is actually cemented in your spirit. And that's where some people get faith mixed up. They just have this vain wish or hope somewhere out there and wonder why it just seems to evaporate or never come, because it was never faith in the first place. Faith is something that is solid. It's assurance. It's rock solid. It's immovable. And when you've got a word of faith in your heart, you get things that God has spoken into your heart, that faith is there, then you stand on that, standing on the word of God and standing on what God has said. So it's holding on to stuff. And sometimes faith means that you hold on to what God has said in the light of totally contradictory evidence. Holding on to, remember, this is a battle of truth. And what faith really is, it's holding on to the truth that God has said in light of every contradictory circumstance in its way. And so faith means is that, yes, God's going to bless me in this. He's given me a word for that. Everything else just seems to be coming against that. But I know because my God has spoken to me and I'm holding that. I'm not letting the situation or the circumstances speak louder than what God has said to me. I hold on to what God has saying. And Romans 4 is a great little example. It talks about Abraham. Now, Abraham was one whose wife desperately wanted to have children. In fact, it was great over in Sri Lanka just hearing the testimony of the couple that run the boys' home, and that for 9 years they're just crying out, just so desperately wanting to have a child of their own. They're looking after all these other kids. They've only been running they've been in that position for about 12 months, desperately wanting a child of their own, and just crying out and for God after 9 years, well actually 8.5 years, nothing seemed to be happening, and then just miraculously, you know, she's due now in September, I think she's due. And so excited. And they had a word for God. And another guy who was sharing, for 13 years, they were trying to have a child for 13 years. God woke him up in the middle of the night and gave him a verse of scripture. I can't remember which psalm it was, he told me. And he didn't even know what this psalm said. No idea what it was. He got up, read this verse in the Bible, and it was about the barren woman having a child. So he grabbed a hold of that. Now, he had that promise. I think it took another 3 years, I think, even after getting the word from that they were going to have this child. But praise God, and they were telling me all about his son going off to university, very proud father. So God is an amazing God that does incredible things. But we find the situation in Romans 4. We see this with Abraham. And this is describing Abraham, and this is what it says. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. It's pretty old to be starting a family, isn't it? And Sarah's womb was also dead. She's pushing 90. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. And so wonderful faith that Abraham, and later it says that because he had this faith, it was credited to him as righteousness. So the thing about faith is some people think that faith is a denial of reality. And that's what people in the world think. You Christians are a little bit nuts, a little bit loopy, because people say in faith, you know, the guy's there and his, you know, legs just about falling off. Praise God, I'm healed. Now, you go around confessing that and unbelievers are going to say, you're a nut job. Look at you. You can't walk and you're telling everyone you're healed. Faith is saying, my leg is sore, my situation, it's acknowledging, it's looking full in the face of reality. There's no denial in faith. In fact, faith is actually embracing the reality and the facts of the situation, my circumstances. It says Abraham, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He wasn't pretending, he wasn't going to the gym every day thinking, you know, no. He faced the fact. But despite that, he still had faith in the face of the facts. And that's what it is. Faith is acknowledging, yes, you know, my leg is still hurting and yes, I'm still limping, but I've got the promise of that healing and I'm holding on to that from the Lord. And one day I'll be walking without any problem or anything else as well. So it's not a denial. It's not this unreality faith. Faith is actually looking to the facts full in the face, saying, yes, This is the situation. Yes, the bank's going to foreclose on me. Yes, I've got the bills, I've got the things in front of me. You've got all the information, but my God has given me a word that He's my provider and He's going to come through for me, and you hold on to that. So it's not hiding the slips, you know, or when the bill comes in the mail, just put it in the little circular filing cabinet. It's, no, this is my situation, but my God, He is faithful. And I've been able to grab a hold of that. Tells us about faith, how we actually grow in our faith. There was a story where, in Luke, with the story, Luke 17, where Jesus is there and, there's the disciples. He tells them about forgiveness. He says, you know, guys, you need to forgive not just once, twice, three times. How about 7 times 70? You have this forgiving heart. And they go, what, Lord? Increase our faith. And then Jesus just says to them, says, look, guys, if you had the faith of even like a little mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, you could say with faith, you could have this cast out and it will fly into the sea with just a little bit of faith. And really what he was saying is, guys, it's not, issue is not really the amount of faith. And for us, sometimes we think, Lord, Lord, if I just had more faith, if I had more faith, I could see my breakthrough. And sometimes we beat ourselves up for not having enough faith. Sometimes other people beat us up and say, oh, well, it's your fault. If you only had more faith, you would get the answer. And people will use that and condemn us, and the enemy will condemn us and say, well, it's just your lack of faith. You know, you need to claim it. You need to proclaim it. You need to do this and that. And it's your fault because you don't have faith, which is a lie of the devil. Jesus was making it clear to these guys, look, you just need a tiny little bit of faith. It's not a matter of that whether you've got enough faith or not. You've got enough faith. You have enough faith for what you need right now. Whatever your situation is, it's not a lack of faith that you have. It's learning how to operate the faith that you have. Because your faith is sufficient for the challenges that you face. God doesn't put you in a situation and say, okay, now let's see how you go. See whether you can rise up and get through this. God's given us what we need to get through. He's given us the capacity. He's given us His Spirit, but He's given us enough faith. So don't anyone ever accuse you of, no, you just don't have enough faith. It's all your fault. That's from the pit of hell. It's not true. You've got enough faith. You have enough faith for what God requires of you in the situation. It's not about that. It's about learning to operate in faith and understand really what faith is. To have that solid thing, that it's rock solid. I know the result, even though I'm watching the match and it doesn't seem to be going my way, I know that I win. I know that God has my answer. And to stand in that, that really is operating in faith. Now, I'm just going to show you this scripture in Romans 10:17 before I do that. It says, consequently, faith comes through from hearing the message, and the message is heard from the word about Christ. And so from the word of God is where faith comes. When God speaks, we have faith. Faith is born in our heart. And so there's something about getting the word from God and actually reading the word of God which causes faith to rise in our heart. Because ultimately, faith is really seated in who God is, God's love for us, His heart for us, and what God has said about us, and God's plan and purpose for our life. That's where faith is born and comes from. It comes from the Word of God. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so we're talking about truth. Remember, it's a battle for truth. And there's something about the truth and faith that they do go together, because faith ultimately is standing in believing the truth of God, what God has said. And so we want to be able to hear what God says to us in the situation. But if you want to know what is God's word for me in the situation, read the written word of God. You'll know what God's heart is for you. If you know who God is, and that's why we spent a whole year of radical love on how God loves us so much. If you know who you are, we spent a whole year on kingdom reign, reigning and ruling with Christ. We know who we are. Then we are able to operate in this realm of faith, which we need to, because we are in a war. We're in a spiritual battle that rages all around us. So I just want to show you now, just from this little, I'm going to take over now. Thank you, Caleb. So just show you this little thing about how faith works. Now, basically, this is you and me. You lost a lot of weight since I saw you last time. But there's something that we see before us, a vision that is before us. And maybe it's, whoops, go away. Maybe that it's reconciliation in your family. Maybe it's a relationship that's broken. So that's your goal. There's something that before me, I want to have my family all together. And more than that, I want to see my family in the household of God. Or maybe is you want a family. Maybe you want a house. Maybe whatever it is, something that God has placed within your heart. Not something you're just coveting, but something that God has put within your spirit. That is a desire, it's a goal, or it's something that God has placed within your heart. And so you're carrying this thing. It's something of God to say, yes, God, I know that you want my family to be restored. I know you want this situation to be worked through, Lord. I know this need, Lord, you have a provision for me. And all is something is you're carrying in your heart. But then something happens and some sort of a challenge comes along and it begins to block my path. Here we go. So what happens is I've got this thing, and I believe it's in God. This is not something I dreamt up. Something spoken over my life, something that's stirred, something's deep within my spirit. And I see this thing before me that is a challenge. That is before me. But something comes between that very thing. Like, this is what God has, but I go to the doctor and it seems like there's this blockage that comes between me and this desire, this goal that God has placed within my spirit. It could be anything. It could be the bill that comes. It could be a relationship that seems to be going the opposite direction of what you want. Rather than this child coming to God, they seem to be going other direction, opposite. This thing that seems to block. It's between you and this thing that is there. Now, this is where faith comes in, because I guarantee if you've got some things that are born in your heart, something born of the Spirit of God that God has planted within you, it's a dream there, it's a desire there. Guess what? The devil doesn't want you to get there. He will try to put some sort of a blockage in your way. Sometimes we're silly enough to put the blockages ourselves, but there'll be some sort of a blockage, something trying to block that. Now, once we've got something there in front of us, should I do this the right way? We start focusing on this thing, it suddenly begins to grow. This barrier, this thing that was there, as I put my attention on it and I'm focusing on this, this thing suddenly becomes almost insurmountable. It grows and it grows. The more I focus on the thing that is stopping me from realizing what God has done, and that's got a mind of its own, eh? He's enjoying himself. Come back. There you go. I must have it on an auto timer or something. More as I focus on this thing, seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what happens with people. To such an extent that this thing gets so big, the thing that they were believing for, the thing that they had faith for, it seems totally lost. It's totally overshadowed by this problem, this issue, this thing that is in my life. And the more that I focus on my problem, more and more it just seems to become bigger. And some people get to the stage where they just give up because this thing now is in blockage. I cannot get through it. It's just too big. And they get overwhelmed. But this is where you need faith. You don't need faith when everything is going well. You don't need faith then. You need faith when the battle starts, when the things start to come against you, when the blockage comes, when the barrier. That's when you really need to have faith. That's when you need to begin to stand in that. So that's the challenge now. I have this thing in my heart. There's something there. And more and more I'm aware of this. More and more this illness, this disease, or whatever it is, this thing, this whatever the problem is, whatever the situation, the more I think about it, the more I think about it. The more I worry about it, the more that I worry about it. And this thing gets me to such a stage where I'm blocked. So what I focus on will grow. Really careful. We've got to watch how we focus with faith. But what I need to do is I need to begin to stop focusing on this thing and really begin to focus on God. Really begin to focus on who God is and his love for me. Because what happens is that if the devil can get your eyes off God and onto your problem, he's already won a battle. He doesn't want you looking to Jesus. He doesn't want you having eyes and your thoughts on Jesus. He doesn't want your heart directed towards Jesus. If he can get you to look at a problem, and that problem can even become like an idol because it takes your attention, anything that takes your attention more than God is an idol. And so if he can do that, he's already won a victory. So we need to immediately keep our eyes and begin to focus on God. And we begin to shift our focus. And remember that as we do that, and so faith really is focusing. It's focusing on God and knowing that God is bigger than your situation. God is bigger than the circumstance that you're in. He's far bigger, as big as you've made this thing, which really wasn't all that big. As big as you've made it, God is that much bigger than that circumstance. So we focus on God, not on focus on the problem. And something amazing begins to happen as we do that. You find as you focus on God, you'll find that that problem suddenly comes into perspective. It's not so big. And then God actually lifts you up. You come into the heart of God, He lifts you up, and you begin to change your perspective. You see it from the way God sees. This thing is still there. The thing that God placed in your heart, it's still there. Nothing's changed. From God's point of view, nothing changed at all. Nothing changed at all from God's point of view. It was always there and always will be. And He knows the result. It's going to be there. As far as God's concerned, no problem. There's no problem. But we get down here and we're looking, no, Lord, it's a big problem. And God says, no, 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 big God. He causes us as we focus on Him. He lifts us above it and we begin to see with faith. And that's all that really faith is. Don't have to make it too complicated. It's simply seeing things the way that God sees them. And if I know how much God loves me, if I know His plan for me, I know His purposes, and He lifts me up into that realm of believing, coming into agreement with the truth of what God has said, that really what faith is, and I agree with God, then I begin to say, hang on, nothing's changed actually. Yeah, this thing is still there. Notice that nothing's changed, by the way. The problem is still there. What's changed is that you're now operating in faith. This thing is no longer your focus. You've been lifted up into the presence of God. You're honoring God. You're worshiping God. You're loving God with all your heart. Your focus is on God, on His word, what God has said, His heart towards me. He hasn't led me out into the wilderness to die. He's got a plan for my life. And as we focus on God, we see, hang on, this thing is still there. Because from God's point of view, nothing ever changed. You put 100 obstacles, big deal, says God. He's now the challenge for us is if we're looking this way, it's blocked. But through faith, we begin to see through God's perspective. And that's all faith is. It's seeing things as God sees them. And that really means seeing them as they really are. And that's the challenge for us, that we don't live by what we see with our natural eyes, but we live through the eyes of faith, which means that we are seeing through God's heart and His love for us, God's plan for us, and we see that the thing is there. And that really what faith is. So did faith remove the obstacle? No, it's still there, isn't it? Having faith does not remove the obstacle, but faith is beginning to see, hang on, God, you got my answer is there, Lord, that nothing's really changed as far as you're concerned. That's really is faith. And when we're in this position of strength, knowing that it's there, knowing that we're going to break through, knowing that we're going to get our answer, then we begin to see this thing getting dismantled. That sometimes we come here full on and we're hoping, wishing it would go away, closing our eyes, holding our breath, running in circles, wanting this thing to disappear, and think that that's faith. You know, I'll pray harder, I'll try harder, I'll do more. And all we're doing is we bang our head against this thing and end up feeling defeated. But if we keep our eyes on the Lord and say, no, Lord, you love me. Lord, your plan is for me. Lord, this desire that is in my heart, it's not an ungodly desire. Lord, it's what you have put there. But Lord, I believe this is what you have done. And Lord, I'm going to focus on you, focus on your goodness, on your grace, on him. Then we begin to see, hang on, actually this is not, is there. And what is impossible with man is actually possible with God. In fact, for God, it's no sweat. Honestly, it's not a problem for God. Nothing's changed for God at all. Hasn't changed from his perspective. And we need to be able to look and see things the way God says. And so faith really is just agreeing with God. It really is agreeing with God. And so the challenge for us is, how do I get from here to here? How do I get there? And I just tell you, look, it's not hard. God doesn't make it hard for us. We make it hard for ourselves. We make everything very hard. We tend to complicate everything. And we always think there's something more that I need to do. And we always feel, but basically it's coming to that point of resting in God and saying, God, I'm just going to rest in who you are and your love for me, your heart for me, and the plan for your life. Lord, I'm going to come and I'm going to rest in that place. I'm going to delight in that place, Lord, in intimacy and worship. And Lord, from that place, Lord, I'm going to see, yeah, it's still there. More than that, Lord, you're going to make a way. God's going to make a way. He's just going to push that thing through. But see, what we want to do is we want the thing to be gone and then we can start to have faith. It doesn't work that way. and we can try to push against it and try to muster every little bit of energy we have and huff and puff and try to blow that little house down. But it's when we come into the presence of God and we rest in God and we just honor God, love God, let Him love us, and just begin to see how wonderful, how powerful, how awesome God is, we can begin to see. And so it's simple to do that, just through the word and prayer. That's why your daily devotions is not an exercise of something you do to be holy and righteous and to be a good little Christian. Reading the word of God and spending time in the presence of God is the very thing that will cause you to be lifted up in faith, the very thing that will cause you to see things the way that God sees them. Even better than that, seeing people the way that God sees them. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing if we all actually lived like that, saw people the way that God did? But the more and more we spend time in intimacy with God is that we come into agreement with God. And what God says is truth. His word is truth. What God says is truth. And faith is aligning ourselves to the truth of God. It's the battle of truth that we're talking about, this battle. The devil doesn't want you to have faith. He wants you to be looking at this wonderful little thing that he's built there for you and wants you to come there and stand before and go, whoa, and homage this thing, almost worship it. The more that you focus on that, the more that you give attention to it, the more that this thing, and you keep making it seem bigger and bigger and bigger. He's having parties all over the place when we do that. But when we say, Lord, no, I'm not going to give into this thing, Lord. I'm going to keep trusting in you, Lord. I'm just going to love you for who you are. Believe your word that you've spoken to me, what you've put in my heart. And then we get lifted up. We see, hang on, this is just a little thing. He's a big God. This is a little thing. We keep it in the right perspective. We see that the thing there is still there, unchanged in the plans and purposes of God. And then as we rest in that place, that's when we see God begin to move the thing out. And to me, that's faith. It's as complicated and as difficult as faith gets. It's not huffing and puffing and blowing the house down. And sometimes, as I said, never condemn someone and say, oh, look, it's, you know, you're not healed because you didn't have enough faith. Never say that to someone. Who are you to judge anyone? Who are we to judge someone? We just need a little grain of a mustard seed. The issue is not enough faith. It's us coming to this place where do we really trust God for who he is? And do we really trust what God has said? And if we can come to that place and rest in that, then we can see that answer is there for me. It's not for everyone else except me that somehow I got the dud lottery ticket in the whole deal. No, God's heart is for all of us. He loves all of us completely, and he has that thing for me. And so don't focus on the circumstance, the situation. Now, the devil's going to want us. So, Caleb, I'll give it back to control to you now. But the devil will do everything to stop you from coming to this place where you're setting up there. So we have a look at the scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Now this is about the armor of God, and eventually we'll get on to talking about the armor of God in this whole call to war. But it talks about the shield of faith. It says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. What are the flaming arrows that the devil can send against us? Well, basically what the devil sends against us, he'll try to bring you down and try to discourage you, and he'll tell you that you're weak, you're hopeless, you're a failure. But more than that, he'll say, this thing, it's got you. You're not going to get your answer. So what are you wasting time praying for? God obviously doesn't love you. He obviously doesn't care. Why are you wasting your breath for? And unfortunately, some people, because they don't stand in faith, they don't stand in that intimacy with God, in that trust relationship with God, of who he is and what God has said, and standing in that, they just take it. Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. All these things, and they get in there, these little fiery darts that sort of get in there, they get ingrained in us, and eventually we begin to believe every lie that the devil has. But if we have the shield of faith and we say, no, I know who my God is. I know that my God loves me. I know that he's given everything. Jesus died on the cross. There's nothing more that God can do to prove his love for me. I am totally and completely loved of God, who is the creator of heaven and earth. He's the awesome God. He's the almighty God, and he loves me with such a passion. And that God, my Father in heaven, he's got a wonderful plan for my life. He has wonderful plans for my life. And so, Lord, I'm standing now in the promise of God, and I'm standing that, and every time the devil tries to come and say, no, God loves me. I'm a child of God, and he has a plan for my life. And we just those things. They don't actually hit us. They don't actually get in there. And so we want to come into that place where we stand in who God is and what God has said and use that. Don't buy the lies that the devil tries to throw at us. It distresses me when I see people doing that. They've got the shield down. And the shield's down because they're not in this place of just loving God and resting in God and who He is and what God has said. But they're living here with the problem. And they've actually made a little tent there and they spend every morning looking, oh, hi, your problem. And it's the first thing they think about, first thing that they do, and living there all of the time. And the shield's down. He gets you in that place and then he just keeps, another one, another one, another one. The problem gets bigger and bigger. You feel diminished. God seems more distant. And we've got to say, no, I'm not playing this game anymore. I'm coming back to my Father in heaven and I'm going to trust my God who loves me, trust Him with all my heart, who just pours His favor, His grace upon me, who has a plan for my life, He's got a good plan for my life, and I'm going to stand in that. And then as you do that, you take up the shield, you stop all this rubbish hitting you, and then allow God then just to move that. But coming back to that place of faith is so very, very important. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it talks about faith being like a breastplate. It says, since we belong to today, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate. Because, look, they really are connected together, faith and love. You know, three things, faith, hope and love. These things are three that remain, and love the most important thing. Because love is the nature and the character of God. But putting on faith and love as a breastplate. Because really it comes from this place of security, trusting God and who He is and what God has said. And I'm going to wear that close to my heart. I'm not going to let any rubbish from the enemy penetrate deep into my spirit, deep into who I am. I've got the shield of faith. I've got this breastplate upon me. And I'm going to hold on to everything that God said. It's of faith and of its love. And I will stand against every work of the enemy in that place. And 1 John 5:4, it says, for everyone born of God, so if you give your heart to Christ, you're born again, you're born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And so faith is a really important aspect. If we're going to be ones in this spiritual battle, we're going to be overcoming, is to have faith in our lives and allow that to be manifest and to walk in that. And so it's so important. Make sure if you're in the situation now, all you can see is this problem, then I would set aside time and say, Lord, I'm just going to come to you. I'm going to come in to spend time with you, Lord, in your presence, Lord. I'm not going to be praying about... So see, the other thing too is when we got a problem, our prayer life becomes our problem life. Now, there's nothing wrong. The scripture tells us to bring our prayers, our requests, our petitions to God, and that's fine. He wants to know our problems. He wants us to pray about them. But if your entire prayer life suddenly becomes focused on your problem rather than your relationship with God, that is a problem. And so we don't want to make this thing the only thing I ever talk to God about, the only thing that I pray about. We love God for who He is. It's the place of intimacy of loving God simply for who He is, not for what He's going to do, but just because of who He is and because He loves me and loving Him in return. Spend time in that place. That's where you begin to have your perspective change. That's where you begin to see things the way that God sees them. Life becomes into perspective. So don't, as I said, pray. Okay, yep, you can pray for your problems. No worries. But don't make that the sum total of your relationship with God as I pray for my problems. That's not really an intimacy with God. Yes, bring Him to His attention and pray, but make sure faith's not born out of focusing on your problems. It's really born out of that intimacy with God where you see things the way that God sees and that you come into alignment with His truth. The finally, the last scripture this morning, just as we close, it says, Acts 7:27-25, it says, so keep up your courage, men and women, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. What a wonderful statement that he can make. Paul can say that. He says, guys, have courage. I have faith it's going to happen just the way that God said. And so we need to stand in that position and say, Lord, I'm a man and I'm a woman. I'm taking courage. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. And Lord, I am trusting in you. And Father, I know that you're going to cause this thing to happen. And so I'm going to stand in that. So let's stand together. We're going to pray now together. And I just want to pray. Maybe you're someone in your situation The kind of faith you've been having is huffing and puffing and trying to do something more or be something to see this thing gone, and you focus everything on this, pray harder, believe harder, do anything harder. It's not harder, it's easier. It's withdrawing and saying, Lord, I'm coming to who you are. Lord, I'm letting my eyes see through your eyes, Lord. I'm coming into what your truth has said. What your word says is truth, Lord. What you say is truth, Lord. And it's still there. The answer is there. Nothing's changed from your perspective. And saying, Father, I'm just going to come into that place of resting in you. Faith is not a big battle, a big struggle. It's actually resting in God and agreeing with God and who God is and what God has said. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, for anyone that is here this morning, Lord, that is struggling in some way, Father. Lord, that the problem just seems to be so big and also all-consuming. Father, thank you, Lord. You don't condemn us. Lord, but you just say, come on, lift your head up. Just change your focus. Just stop worrying about the problem. Just put your eyes upon me. And Father, I pray this day, Lord, if there's anyone in that situation, Lord, where their eyes have just been overwhelmed by this, Lord, their attention, their focus has been the blockage, Lord, the thing that's stopping this goal, this desire coming to fulfillment. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll just now, Lord, just take a step back. And Father, we say, no, Lord, we're just coming into your presence, Lord. We're going to spend time with you. Lord, we're going to read your word, Lord. We're going to agree, Lord, with what you've said about us, Lord, about who you are. Lord, in a place of prayer and intimacy, Lord, we're just going to rest in you. And Father, you're going to allow that vision of ours to be lifted up. Father, that we'll begin to see as you see, Father. Lord, not according to the blockage, Lord, but according to your eternal perspective. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, for anyone who's struggling right now. And Lord, the reality is probably all of us, Lord, have something that is trying to block this thing that you have in front of us or the next step. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll all be lifted up. And Father, that faith will be born in every heart. Lord, that we'll see things the way that you see them, Lord, because nothing's changed according to you. And Father, that we'll come into agreement with you, Lord. That's what faith is. Lord, we want to come into agreement with what you have said, Father. So Lord, we open our hearts this day. Father, lift up anyone that is struggling this day. Father, Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, that has come this day, and Lord, they've never come and said, I want to give my life to Jesus. They've never actually asked Jesus into their heart. Lord, they may know God, they may believe in God, but Father, if there's anyone here that hasn't given their life to Christ, Father, I pray, Lord, that you give them the courage to say, yes, I want what Jesus did on the cross to apply for me. I want to know what it is to be truly free, to be forgiven of my sin. I want to know what it is to have the assurance, the certainty of eternal life, not wondering whether I'm a good or bad person, but I want to know for sure that I have that promise. Lord, if there's anyone here this day, Father, I pray that you give them the courage, we give opportunity for prayer. Lord, that they will come and be prayed for this day. Father, I ask that in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's just worship the Lord and